Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to try to wrap up my complaints or the airing of grievances. And this is not Festivus, but we're going to go through the perspectives that I think that are really important regarding the party. And then we'll get into the important perspectives regarding activists and our grassroots civics organizations. And when I say civics, not party, not political, but maybe, you know, community efforts, what have you. More specifically, we're talking about organizations out there that are, the John Birch Society, Eagle Forum, 10th Amendment Center. There's, Liberty Group down in Arizona. There's all sorts of different groups. I mean, even an organization like Judicial Watch is a civics activist organization. And so we're going to dive into what is critical for us to actually embrace a civics activist organization. It cannot be based on a myopic issue, because a myopic issue is antithetical to the Constitution and or the paradigm of what the real problem is and what we need to solve. If only one group cares only about their Second Amendment rights, if only one group only cares about the right to life, or, you know, marriage is a sacred, or education, it does not matter what the focus of the organization is. It is not focused on the Constitution and the enumerated powers. It's only focused on, you know, the one thing. I don't care what tyranny I live under, as long as you just don't do this. Sorry, that is a part of the problem, because we need to get rid of all tyranny, period. As you know, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this show is really founded and based upon academic evidence from source documents. I mean, I actually read these source documents to you. I can tell you how smart you can be on the Constitution if you would only read the ratification debates. And guess who's going to be reading them again, probably for the fourth or fifth time. And I don't read the entire ratification debates. What I do is I go through and give you all the evidence that is pertinent to the limitations of jurisdiction, the definitions of exclusive legislation. I go through what I believe are the really critical things, how the framers defined and discussed these things and set the terms of how those things were defined and how they were to be applied. And in so doing, as I provide this to you, you will be overwhelmed with the academic evidence that we are violating the Constitution in almost every facet, every capacity. And any politician who takes an oath to office, and does not challenge the veracity and the constitutional standing of everything that they are doing, they have failed. And one thing I liked about my interview with Sheriff Mack was, as he was working as a peace officer, a policeman in some town in Arizona, he realized that, you know, what was he doing? You know, was he really benefiting society by it? Because I think he said he was going to be giving a ticket to some lady with kids in the car or something like that. And she obviously didn't have the means or anything else. And here he was going to slap a punitive fine on this woman. And what was the purpose of that? And so he really started soul searching. And this kind of sent him down this lifelong, myopic, let's just say, crusade of making sheriffs constitutional. Well, I believe every politician must be. Do they not? Are they not included when I say if they take an oath to office, then they must comply to the Constitution. So I'm not being exclusive or myopic like Sheriff Mack is. I believe that everybody must be held accountable. Everybody. If you take that oath, then you must be held accountable to that oath while you are serving under that oath. That's why Section 3 of the 14th Amendment even exists. And we go through that a lot. We've already gone through it. We will go through it again. I don't want to constantly repeat, because then I can't go through this, what I consider a six-month course of digesting the content of source documents to truly understand our Constitution, how the framers defined it, and how we are violating it. And I think I do a pretty good job at this. I'll be the first to admit I suck at entertaining. I may say some things in levity or trying to be funny, and many a times I'm told by, you know, my mother, my wife, and others that, you know, I think you're the only one that thinks you're funny. And so, okay, I'll admit I may not be entertaining. I promise I will give you the truth. I will read their words, the founding words, these source documents, and let you decide. Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. When Mitch McConnell gets up and starts lecturing you on the Constitution, do not take his word for it. Now, if he's reading from source documents, but be very careful to what these people are reading. I one time had a John Bircher stand up and tell me they were reading Thomas Jefferson's resolutions, this Kentucky resolutions of 1798, and this person was reading somebody's revision of his. It was a Kentucky legislator, I can look it up, but it's not important. But they were actually reading what this legislator stated because he thought that, oh, well, Jefferson's resolutions were, you know, too strict and too harsh. What? You know, when it comes to the letter of the law, there's no mealy mouth washing away the intent of the law. Either you have this power or you don't have this power. And if you don't have this power, you're violating your Constitution. Oh, well, can't we all get along? I'm sorry. Anyway, so you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence-based solutions of what we have to do. I've done the research, and I challenge anybody to refute what I am asserting. There's nobody. I have yet to have anybody. I have had constitutional professors say, well, and they've thrown in arguments like, well, we've been violating the Constitution, as you point out, for over 200 years. You know, I think we just need to keep that perspective. And I tell them, well, okay, show me in the Constitution where we have this concept, this premise that there's this statute of limitations. If we can get away with violating the Constitution for 7 years, it becomes that's not in the Constitution. The Constitution's a contract. And as Madison points out, every time the contract is violated, it never just becomes legitimate. It will always stand as a violation. Pretty plain and simple. Anyway, I want to kind of keep moving forward. We have a comment question line. We've made this available to you, and only on these days when I'm kind of doing what I'll call marketing. And today's actually, this is kind of a content day, but it's relative to the election, politics, and so forth. So, and these aren't from source documents. This is really GR. And, you know, I'll just say these are how I believe we should be behaving as a political system, as the party should be behaving, if the party truly represents you. I do not believe any American is represented by the Democratic or the Republican Party or any party for that matter, other than the Constitution Party. Now, I have some issues with the Constitution Party, not the people, but what they have posted, and I will get into those things today. But I am here to tell you that only the Constitution Party stands on the Constitution, and I believe every member of the Constitution Party is starting to recognize what they need to do to actually make that position very clear, very concise, and easy for any American to digest. So, with that. If you've got any questions, you've got any comments, you want to have dialogue. You know, there, as a matter of fact, there was a gentleman that called, and you know what? While I'm doing this, I'm going to look up this person's name because I know I put it in the title of the, let me see here. Doggone, I can't find it. And I think it was because it was last week. Somebody called. I wrote down the area code and phone number, and I called them back, and I could not get a hold of them. And so, unfortunately, I was not able to get a hold of somebody that did call, but I do make the effort. If you call and you want to have dialogue, my suggestion is do what I'm asking you to do. Call 425-270-5416. Now, I know I have a conflict in my outgoing and bumper music. Hey, it's time to call, and I give you the local dial number. I need to change that, and I will. I'm a pretty busy guy, especially now that the world is going falling apart. I need your help. And as a matter of fact, I need everybody's help in doing research. And I am sending constitutional minutes, and I guess I need to post these things, but I'm going to start creating a weekly constitutional minute to send to state legislators so that state legislators start understanding, one, the Constitution better, and two, what their obligations are as legislators, what they need to be doing, and three, you know, what we want to do is let them know that you know. And so with that, and with that nice incoming music, that means that I have to take a quick break. So after these two promos, I will be right back, and we will dive a little bit further forward as to what we're going to be covering in content, and then get into my rant on parties and grassroots organizations. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And you see, that right there is what I was talking about. That's the lead, and that's kind of like what we call bumper intros, back throws, those types of things. And so I need to go clean that up. And instead of dialing in, if you've got time now or when you actually have the moment to really rant or ask a question, I ask that you please be concise, because there are limitations to phone messages. But if it seems like we've really got to have a dialogue, I will call you. Just leave your name and number. If you want autonomy, you don't, or I should say, you want me to basically keep you anonymous, not autonomy, but you want to keep anonymous, then just let me know, hey, this is Peter, but I don't want anybody to know my name. And I want to talk to you about this, 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 and this. But please, 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 I do not, I'm not going to call you if you want to talk about conspiracy theories and everything else. I believe in conspiracy theories to certain points. I mean, I challenge everything. But my show is about reclaiming the Republic. You've got questions about the Constitution. You got questions about what somebody's doing might be constitutional, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then that's pretty concise and that's kind of aligned with this. But we don't want to, I don't want to have a dialogue of the color purple, of, you know, the perceived royalty, Satan's, you know, designs, perception. I do too much of that probably already, and I try not to. I really do try to focus it, but you can't not talk about what the divine hand of providence gave us and then talk about how Satan is trying to go against that. And I try to keep those types of perspectives, so please call me if you've got a question, you've got a comment. I appreciate that. What we want to do is, and we want to not admonish, or we basically exhort, we plead to you to help spend or help get this message, the show, the content out there. We need more listeners to get this message moving if we really want to change the direction, because in all honesty, Trump had 4 years and he did nothing. If I was president of the United States, I've said this time and time again, and just to be consistent, I would have gone to the states as soon, just like a Washington tour, I would have gone to every state and stood in front of the state legislatures and told them and actually spoke over them to the people of that state to say, it is your state legislators who have the power to dismantle all of these unconstitutional things the federal government is doing. As president, I vow to you that I will protect you as you dismantle all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. I will not use the federal enforcement agencies and these other evil organizations against you. And as I do that, then everybody starts getting the message. And I'm telling you, that's the only way it can really happen, you know, at a high level where everybody starts getting the message and so forth. But I'm here to tell you that I don't see me becoming president. You know, nobody's perfect. I don't necessarily have, you know, a huge criminal record or anything like that. I made my mistakes. I'm not here to do anything but lead. And I've told people, you know, if the American people write me in, I cannot see myself taking the time and investing time in campaigning. You want to know something? Madison didn't. Madison did not campaign for the first term of presidency. All he did when Jefferson, because it was kind of like a slam dunk, whoever was Secretary of State became the president. And Madison, basically, the only thing he did was he reached out, and I think he wrote to the electors, those men who were commonly electors because they were the statesmen of their community. And basically, he didn't spend a penny on campaigning. Can you fathom that? And America elected the most constitutional and no doubt the best president ever on a campaign of nothing. Almost like a Jerry Seinfeld show. Anyway, as we move forward, what we want to do is we definitely want to start lining people up to the Constitution, and we want to convert every state from red or blue to parchment. Do you understand the imagery we're creating here? We have to move the design and desire of the state of complying and aligning with the Constitution, not with parties and party agendas. Anyway, we are going to come up with some content. And as a matter of fact, in my next episode, I am going to cover the vetoes of the Department of Transportation. I'm going to put this into context that I've never done before. And so, yeah, you may want to really tune in, because I am going to give you the slam dunk argument that needs to be presented. Anyway, you got to tune in, because if I say too much, then I'm going to reveal it. And I kind of, you know, I believe in that little bit of marketing, keeping people at the edge of their seats. Well, shoot, I got to tune in if I'm going to find out. See, another one of those jokes where I think that's funny, but nobody's laughing, I'm sure. Anyway, after we cover the vetoes of the Department of Transportation, then we will dive straight into Madison's letter to John G. Jackson and why this is so significant, because it maintains a consistency from Madison's beginning from, and when I say the beginning, truly, going into the Constitutional Convention, Madison had his own designs. He wanted a very powerful centralized government. And when he left the Constitutional Convention, he became the ardent supporter of a very defined and limited government. And so here's a person that was willing to, you know, take his, you know, he was rejected. I mean, the Virginia plan, which was Madison's plan, was rejected. And instead of actually, you know, letting his ego take lumps and becoming a contrarian like most people do, Madison embraced this concept and became the greatest supporter of a limited and defined government. And this letter kind of creates the ending of this man's official life and career, because this is one of the last letters that he did. Other, I think he participated in a Virginia convention, I believe in 1830. But for the most part, his public service days were actually over. He retired as president in 1817 and walked away. And when he was asked, when they requested for his notes on the Constitutional Convention, this was his reply. And so I think it helps resonate, and it does. You'll see how all this connects. You gotta tune in. Don't take my word for it of what I'm saying now. You actually have to hear his words, what he said, so I can prove to you that these are the facts. Anyway, let me get the old axe out and let me do some more grinding. And as I was talking about, I had talked about the Constitution and the Constitution Party. And like the Constitution itself, when we look at parties, parties must exude the spirit of the Constitution. And if they don't, if they fail to exude that spirit of embracing individual liberty and individual sovereignty, then I believe the party is in a position or is moving towards a position of totalitarianism. Oh, well, yeah, we believe that you can say whatever you want as long as we agree with it, right? Or we believe that you have a right to choose, except, and see my point, you know, I understand that the federal government does not have any power to enforce or mandate abortions. But they don't have any power to do any of that. It is not within their jurisdiction. Those powers are left to the states, and the states can and should be the ones dictating the conscience of the people. Now, most people say, well, states can't create laws that subjugate people. I think you're absolutely correct, but they can create moral and decency laws. Every state and in every fashion and way, you cannot, for public safety purposes, you cannot go into a theater and yell fire. And I want to give a reference to a very good patriotic legislator in South Dakota. His name is Tony Randolph. And we have talked, and he is very distraught regarding the legalization of marijuana in South Dakota. And one of the things I told him is that government does have a moral responsibility to ensure that that they're not allowing the public to create harm. In other words, the government does have the power to protect its people from actual harm, not a, you know, perceived harm from religion or ideology, but medical harm and or things that act. And so this is where, you know, I wanted to have this dialogue with him, and I hope to have this dialogue with him, because he wants to really go after marijuana and shut it down. And I go, I'm absolutely supporting you on that. Are you willing to make that same stance on alcohol, tobacco, and everything else that is harmful? Because if the government is honest and says, we consider all of these substances to be harmful, to be addictive, or what have you, and in the essence and spirit of the Constitution, we believe that these things must be regulated, that people should not be, I mean, there are laws that bartenders cannot continue to serve alcohol to somebody that they believe is, you know, too impaired. Well, you can do the same thing about marijuana. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, anything that is being smoked, you know, like vaping, cigarettes, marijuana, what have you, you're causing real harm. And I've gone down this tangent, but the point I'm trying to prove is that only states have the ability to pass these kind of laws, but they can only do that if the Constitution, if their Constitution gives them and delegates those types of powers. So we'll be back on how this all ends in this conversation, the hope to have with Mr. Randolph or Representative Randolph. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Kind of like what I do with the U.S. Constitution, you have to look at the state constitution under the same light. The question is, how well did the state document the ratification of their state constitution? Did they... Because clearly, when they went through that Constitution, they debated every part of it. I have yet to see, when it comes to governing people, go to any town meeting to talk about a law, and you will find that it will go days and days and days to ad nauseum of how far they go into defining every aspect of that law. But when that law goes into effect, the judges fail to actually reach in to the contractual definitions provided in the ratification process of that and say, look, it is clearly defined. I do not have to interpret the intent that has already been done in the origins of this law. And I have to see, and I must state that what, you know, this enforcement or this interpretation, this is something that is within those defined terms and definitions. The courts do not have latitude if it is already defined. And just because they look at the vagueness of the words in the Constitution, well, we must no, you must go through the ratification debates and find out how the Federalists define that. Because that's how it was sold, and those are legally binding definitions and terms. And this is a fundamental perspective, this is a tenet, a fundamental tenet of contract law. It's that simple. Anyway, so like the constitutions, parties must exude the spirit of the Constitution. And failure to exude the spirit, is an indication, it is an indictment that the party is moving towards totalitarianism. Whether the party purports a position of any morality, then it proposes a concept of a theocracy or autocracy when they start going down that path of starting to say you can't, or in compelling people that they must. Do I believe that the Bible should be used in the school? Well, yeah, I do. I believe that scriptures should be available, and it should not be one, banned, or two, it should not be one forced upon kids. I believe that the concept of conscientious objection is the ultimate sovereignty and right of an individual. You have a right to object. But you do not have the right to inflict. Now, when we create constitutions, we must be very careful in how we delegate powers, that we do not delegate powers to allow government to fundamentally inflict. What we have to do, if there are those types of powers, then we have to put on our big boy and big girl britches and meet and say, we need to change this. This goes outside the spirit of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And as long as America clings to these principles, we can avoid the totalitarianism, whether it be a theocracy or autocracy of any form. Now, how groups wholeheartedly excludes people of a Christian faith for any purpose other than its incompatibility with individual liberty and individual sovereignty, then those doing the exclusions are taking a position that is antithetical to the principles of the Constitution. And I give you a case in point. There have been many times when an organization or a group of people in a party or what have you, have judged the faith of its members or of an individual and has basically said, this is, you know, this individual, this faith, this group of people are not welcome. And as I said, unless that faith is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I challenge anyone of Christian faith. I mean, there may be a Christian denomination out there that actually that believes in a theocracy, that those who should be in charge are the pastors, the ministers. They should be dictating the laws and judging people. No, that's incompatible. And there is a faith, which is Islam, that is incompatible with our Constitution. And so in so stating this, I don't believe that they can't be inhabitants. They can't be here, but they should not be able to participate in our political process because they do not embrace individual liberty and individual sovereignty, the fundamentals of our Constitution and our land. And if they want to create their own theocracy, then they need to be invited to go to the areas and regions of the world that embrace that instead of liberty. But most people, and you start looking at this, how there's this creep. Oh, well, it's the camel's nose in the tent first, and then the eyes, and then the ears, and then the head, and then next thing you know, the entire camel has came into the tent and has pushed you out into the windstorm. If you're not familiar with the little parable or fable or what have you, go read that. You know, I encourage everybody to read many of these fables and, you know, Aesop's fables and so forth. I think that there are life lessons that are completely lost. I do not care about political correctness when it comes to old, old, ancient fables like these. There is merit in them, and we should not just shun them because of our prejudices and their prejudices. We should see the overall, you know, from a macro view, their overall value. Now, as I've got enough time, I'm going to just kind of plow a little further forward here. Only the Constitution Party, as I see it, I've talked to the Libertarian Party, and I point out the Libertarian Party embracing unconstitutional stuff and so forth. When I sit down and talk to them, they actually have, yeah, you know what? You're right. We never looked at it that way. And so, you know, in being honest, only the Constitution Party really fully supports the Constitution, but some of their documentation doesn't necessarily speak to that. And I think that when you look at their platform is something you get lost in. A platform, it needs to be very clear, clean, and concise. Look at the Communist Manifesto in its 10 planks. Its 10 planks are very clear and concise as to what it is, what it supports and what it exudes. And I believe that the Constitution Party's platform really needs to be boiled down to the simplicity that, you know, you can go into a little detail that there are two forms of constitutions. There are general constitutions that provide general powers that leave to government, that to their discretion, that they choose to, you know, govern us how they feel best. And then there are enumerated constitutions which delegate very specific powers to the government, to the general government, state government, to the government, and they can only exercise those powers. And in so stating a clean and simple platform like that, then everybody gets it. Oh, well, yeah, I go with that. We don't want government to be tyrannical. We don't want them to be able to do anything that they want to do, because as soon as you open up that Pandora's box, it's over. And in essence, because we have a constitution and it is specified and it is defined, and even though the government has created their own Pandora's box, they are in conflict with our constitution, and that's why it's not over. That's why we, if we choose to act quickly, can get the government out of the Pandora's, you know, release and back into the framework of the Constitution. I'm just trying to, you know, make sure I stay consistent in the metaphors I'm creating there. Anyway, so their platform, I think, needs to, what they have right now as a as an existing platform, needs to probably be moved into a declaration and or, you know, something that can provide some clarity. But some of the things that they should really avoid having are things that speak to morality. I think that, like I just said, I think that the individual conscious, truth wins every time. And when it comes down to the truth, when it comes down to the argument of evolution and creation, there is more evidence that supports creation than evolution. Far more. Far, 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 far. There's no way that the software, the DNA, and the things that formed life in our world evolved. Now, there are things that DNA over time has evolved, but the creation of DNA was not an evolutionary process. That software had to get here somehow. And so I'm just, you know, trying to prove to you a point that when you start using the truth, then you win the argument every time. And when it comes down to, you know, a platform, or when you want to start bringing in morality, I believe that the principles of truth are, is that every person has their own religious perspective, whether their perspective is based on Catholicism or any form of Christianity or any other form of religion, that is their own. That's their own conscience. And everybody has a right to be entitled to that and should not be compelled to groupthink or anything else. Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the platform and the bylaws. And I'll try to be quick to wrap it up. If not, we'll have to go to beyond. But we'll cover that when we come back. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so what I was just trying to say is that if I have to expand this, and there's a good likelihood that I will, because there's a lot to cover when you start talking about what grassroots organizations, because remember, I look at grassroots on two sides. There's the political side, which is the party. And then there is the civic side, which is the, you know, oath keepers, those types of things that, you know, people cling to the ideals or a concept or so forth. And so we need to work with both sides of the grassroots in America. And so this is why, you know, we had to figure out, and it wasn't hard for me to figure out, you know, I just believed that the majority of the people who were in the Republican Party would get it. But I have realized that the party has such control that the people don't get it, that I believe that this year they're getting it. I honestly believe that people now see the party as just as equal part of the problem as anything else. And so what do you do? Where do you go? Well, I'm telling you right now, you go to the Constitution Party and watch the changes that are going to befall these organizations we're working with. Why? Because the message and the direction is going to become very clear and very concise. And I believe that's what people need. I think people need clarity. I think people, you know, don't want, there's lots of people that want the details, but they first have to understand the clarity and direction of an organization. And so the platform needs to be concise and as clear as possible. Now, I will just tell you that when you look at platforms, you know, the Constitution Party is very clear. Or not the Constitution Party. The Communist Manifesto, their basic party, is very, very clear. Right? I mean, you know, it's 10 planks. Boom. And they get right through it. You know, you don't have rights. You don't have property. That everything is for the collective. Anyway, so what I'm basically saying is what they currently have for a platform, it really needs to be moved into a different form of explaining some of the spirit of these things within the Constitution. And what really they need to do is, like I said, and I've already given you that, the concise platform message that, you know, the state constitutions, as a matter of fact, a platform for the state should really clearly state that only the people can dictate the delegated powers. And the only time the federal government can dictate a power to the state via mandate is via an actual constitutional power. And the reason I'm saying this, and this needs to be done very concisely so it's very clear, that the federal government cannot mandate that a state create an agency like the Environmental Protection Agency or an office to interface with a federal agency that is unconstitutional. If you look at your state constitutions today, you will find that there are there's a plethora of powers that your state government is spending money on that is unconstitutional and is outside the boundaries of the federal government and the U.S. Constitution. Ergo, the federal government is spending and forcing the good taxpayers of that state to spend money on unconstitutional government. We really need to boil it down to, what if we really authorize, and that's what you can do? You can't create debt. You can't spend us into oblivion. If you do, it can only be because of war or these types of things. Anyway, we need to also address the bylaws of the party. And the bylaws, and these are just some recommended changes to the bylaws, that all elected officials must fully account to the party, and that every party leader be considered an elected official. Because technically, the chair of the national chair of the Constitutional Party was elected by the members. The state chair, the county chairman, every position other than the PCOs, and even the PCOs are to be elected by the people. Now, technically, the PCOs, unless they're being challenged, they don't go to an election. But if you challenge a precinct committee officer, or whatever you call that's the smallest organization of the party, of the 1,000 people, or however they're breaking it down, and typically it's called a precinct committee officer, or a precinct officer, that's the representative for everybody in that precinct, that voting precinct, then that person then should be, and all people that are elected within the party should raise their arm to the square and take the oath, just like they're in an office, because they are representing the people. They may be representing the people in the aspect of the party, but you are still an elected person. And this is political. There's no way about this. This is political, and therefore these people should also be held accountable to the oath. So all elected officials and all elected members of the party must take the oath and be fully accountable to that oath. One of the things that needs to be injected in the bylaws is a remonstrance on religion to ensure that all religions receive the due respect, and that all people have the right of conscience, that, you know, there should be no alliances, and or, as a matter of fact, to keep it simple, keep your religion at home. Unless your religion is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and it's easily proven, then, you know, you are a welcome member of the Constitution Party. And keep it at home. There's no place for your religion in politics, because we do not believe in establishing religions in government. The establishment rule, and you've heard me talk about this, and we will talk about this more, but the establishment clause technically does not apply to the states, but I believe any state that actually establishes a very particular religion is going down the wrong path of the spirit of the Constitution. I do believe that there is a symbiotic relationship between government and religions, all religions that embrace individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And we'll get into that. We'll get into, because that's how we start solving the problems, because who better at performing compassionate services like welfare, education, healthcare, and those types of things than religion? If not, if I am wrong, then tell me the secular monstrosity that has been created as a beacon in the medical world, like Zion, or what is it, the Sinai, or St. Mary, St. Joseph's. I mean, almost every leading institution out there in the medical thought of universities and so forth, they all came from religion. And they were the inspiration to the world of what we could do when religion was not constrained. And it's the same thing with education. Even Harvard was a religious school. And over time, they not only became non-denominational, but they became godless and secular. When I say secular, I mean the antithetical. They became a religion in itself. Because secularism, as it goes after other religious doctrines, that doctrine in itself is a religious doctrine. And it is antithetical to these American principles that we all understand as our right of conscience and our individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So I believe the bylaws really should have a remonstrance that, you know, the discussion of a person's faith, it should never, no religious test. We should not even be discussing that type of background of an individual when it comes to the party positions or anything. And I'm saying this because in the early 2000s, believe it or not, there was a large group of people that had left an organization because the chair that was elected over this organization was a faith that people had an objection to, or a group of people had an objection to. And I'm going, well, good. Those people should have no business in an organization that's promoting individual liberty. They're divisive, and they're not wanted. And anybody that wants to be divisive should be asked, you know, hey, this organization doesn't accept, you know, divisiveness or those types of tactics. And so if you want to do that, you really need to leave. And if you do, and give them a first and final. Hey, you kind of brought this up and you've made some derogatory comments regarding this person's, you know, culture, what have you, and say, we believe that's divisive. And I believe the remonstrance of religion needs to be expanded to all these things regarding whether it be race, whether it be religion, or anything that people can become, you know, oppressed or harassed over. You know, like we need to treat people that wear glasses equally to those who don't. And I may be funny a little bit, or maybe sarcastic, but it goes down that same line. And I know it is the nature of humanity to sometimes lose its clarity on humanity itself, and we find reasons to start becoming prejudiced and biased. And my favorite evidence of this is the Star Trek, believe it or not, the Star Trek TV series, the original Star Trek with James Kirk. And when James Kirk basically, you know, said, you know, they go, hey, why, you know, this guy is the same as that other guy. And he goes, no, I'm black on the left side. He's black on the right. We will always find reasons to be divisive. We got to stop it. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. Our next episode will be the vetoes on the Department of Transportation. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.